Okay, so pretty much you got a lot of the big ones. I broke them up into little different categories, but I want to share those with you anyway. So other than instruction, some of the things that we do, and probably the most important thing that we do other than instruction, is to plan for instruction. And we talked a few days ago about the importance of planning for instruction, because if you don't know what you're going to do, one, you're going to have discipline problems, and two, you're not going to have very effective learning happening. So some examples of how you can use technology tools in instructional planning are using lesson plan templates, which you're using right now for your lesson plan assignment, doing material searches. You all mentioned that with the with using the internet. I got a little bit more specific here, looking at library databases. Of course, you're going to have your library on your campus, but some other resources like Amazon.com has wonderful, wonderful reviews. You can go to WorldCat and find pretty much any book that's in the world. It's amazing what you can find. You can use specialized internet search engines that we'll learn about in a few weeks, and of course, emailing colleagues. Next is materials development. You spend a lot of time creating materials that you're going to use for your class. And that could be just using simple word processing to create a worksheet that you're going to use. Or it could be using different tool generators or worksheet generators. And I'll show you those also in a few weeks. But some examples are quiz generators, where you type in the questions and it will take care of putting it all together for you. Like in Web Campus, I use a quiz generator to create your reading quizzes. Rubric generator, and this is an example of a grading rubric that I used from it's not school.discovery.com. It's another one, but I'll point it to you when we get to the web. KWL generators, remember the KWL that we did earlier in the semester? All I did was use an online generator to create that KWL, and then you'll do other materials preparation. You could be putting together PowerPoint slideshows. The other thing you did mention is dealing with parents, and one thing you're going to have to do is deal with them in terms of discipline, but also, like what Ted says, we want to make sure that we have positive contacts with them as well. One thing that I always did at the beginning of the school year is I gave a really, really big, really easy test, and I would just drill those students the first 2 weeks of school. Well, you know, what are the 7 continents, the 4 oceans, what is physical versus cultural geography? We'd go over all this basic stuff that they really should have known already when they came into my classroom. But it was this big, you know, like a 50-question test. It was big. And everybody gets an A on it just because, you know, it's the beginning of school. Everybody wants to learn. And that whole weekend, I spent calling all 150 of my parents or 180 of my parents saying, I just wanted to tell you how proud I am. We had our first test today, and Johnny got an A on that test. And most of the parents, once they pick themselves off the floor after fainting, nobody's ever called me to tell me that my child is doing something well. And how sad is that? And then for the rest of that school year, when I call and I say, you know I called you a few months ago because Johnny did so well on that test, but I've been noticing that he's having some problems academically, or I've noticed that Maria's not really paying much attention in class, and I'm concerned that's going to affect her next test score. Well, that parent then is right on working with me because they know that I care about that kid. One way that you can do this is, remember that you put all that information, your personal information, into my computer? I can have that download into my Pilot, and then all I can do is I can type in, you know, Johnny Smith, so I put JSM for Johnny Smith, SM, and automatically his name will pop up. I hit one button and I can call his, I can choose if I'm going to hit work, home, fax, however I've highlighted it, as long as I put it in correctly into my computer and syncs it to my Palm. But I can call his parents just like that without a problem. It's all right there in my hand. What's nice is if you live close to your school, it's not going to do you any good. But if you have a 45-minute drive to and from school, I don't want you to be sitting on the phone like this, but I have a little earpiece that I put in my ear when I'm on the road, and I just talk and drive, and I've got full view up here, and I can talk to the parents. So it's a great way to communicate. I read an article about a year ago about a principal, relatively small school. I think he had like 350, 500 students, and he had every one of his students in his handheld, and he had a long drive to and from school, and he said that he would make a contact with every parent of every kid in his school at least once a month. Now, if a principal can do that, can't we do that, especially in elementary, when we're dealing with 30 students? Now, in middle school, that's a lot harder because you have because of numbers. So you need to be able to call them. You need to be able to use your calendars to organize times for them to come in. You need to keep in regular communication. There are going to be some who are never going to answer their emails, but there are going to be some that want to email often. Like, if you get me, I want a daily report on my kids' behavior. Also, if you're going to be gone and you're one of those who's used to getting back to people right away, you can set up your computer to say, I'm going to be out for a few days. You can do report generating. In the higher grades, like 4 and 5 and up, you're probably going to want to do this. In the lower grades, it may not be as important. But if you have lots of assignments, especially if kids are starting to be delinquent on turning them in, all you have to do is, if you're using Easy Grade Pro or something else, print out a report and send it home. Or even better now, if you're using the, what is it, EdNet, the school district's system, every time you put a grade into Easy Grade Pro now in the district, it goes into a main database. Every parent should be able to get access to that database. So if you have a child in middle school or high school, you will be able to get access to this. You should be able to go in for every class and find out exactly what their grade is as of the last time the teacher put in the grades. Now that's pretty powerful, especially when you come to middle school where you start to have serious problems with students not turning in work. Also, it's important that you document. When you communicate with parents, you need to write down that you've communicated with them. So create a database where you put in, you know, I spoke with this parent on this day. If you're doing it on your phone, you might just put a note, you know, today's date, you know, 9/18, positive comment about student grade, mom happy. You know, something just enough so that you know that you called them, because then when they come back and they say in January that, you know, that Dr. Keeley, she's never called me this whole year, and now she's telling me my kid's having problems. I can say, you know, I called you on the 18th to tell you this. I called you on October 10th, and nobody was home, so I left a message and said this. So you're really just covering yourself, and it's sad that we live in an environment where we need to do that, but we do. And another way that I document meetings is if I have a meeting with a parent, especially if there's a serious issue where a parent seems particularly volatile, or if it's a child that has a special need that we might be going through a special education multidisciplinary team meeting soon, then what I'll do is I'll write a report just on that meeting, and I will keep that. You need to be careful though where you keep those things, because they are highly confidential. Okay. Again, with parental contacts, we talked about before about letting them be aware of what's going on, and we talked about a class website. Some other options are creating postcards. Here's an example of one. Don't forget Family Science Night, the date, tell them to come. I used to send these out all the time because it was cheaper to do it, and I knew that if I sent it with a kid, it wasn't going to make it home, and that was just something exciting for the kid to say, oh, look, we got it at home, or the parent to say, oh, you didn't tell me about this. So it's a neat little way. I probably would not use a color graphic because of cost. Mail merges is a really neat little application, and it exists within all of the Office programs. If you have a database that has all of your students' names, addresses, parents' names, telephone numbers, all of that, which you might just have in an Excel spreadsheet, you can go into Word and write a letter and say, dear, fill in the blank, and it will say, Mrs. Jones, your son, comma, fill in the blank, Alfred, comma, then it will generate all of these reports, or it currently has a, and you can put in a little grade, fill in the blank, and you can have it put in the grade right there. You can create mail merges, and then all you have to do is print one time, and it will print every one of your kids with all of that information that's specialized to who they are. So you get these things in the mail all the time that say, Christy, you have just won $2 million. Well, that's all they're doing, and that's something that you can do easily on just using Word and Excel. You might want to send out flyers, newsletters that I'll show you next time. The field trip permission slips, you probably will not have to do those because if you're in a large district, they're already created. But there are other permission slips. One thing I used to do at the beginning of the year, before I was showing any movies, and you'll have to talk to your principal about this because this is a little iffy, I would say, there may be times throughout the school year that I would like to show your students some videos that may have a PG rating. However, I will not show them any of the parts that would be worthy of receiving the PG rating. I will limit that to educational material that would be considered G rated. If you do not approve of your child viewing these, please sign here and send it back with your child. Okay? And so, okay, so that's not the most ethical thing to do as a teacher, because how many parents are going to, one, see that letter? Two, how many, you know, are going to actually sign that letter? And three, how many are going to send it back? But I've created a little permission slip, and now I can feel, I can say I sent it out, and I can show parts of movies. Now, I'm not going to show anything that's inappropriate, I know that, but if I don't do a letter like that at the beginning of the school year, I can get myself in a lot of trouble. In geography, there are fantastic movies that teach about, like, the rainforest, like Medicine Man. Medicine Man, it's a beautiful movie about what, if you know Sean Connery, you know that movie? Okay, it's wonderful to show about the rainforest. It'd be great for science or for your social studies. But it's rated, I think, R. It's rated PG or R, so you cannot show it in your school. So what I do is I take out little snippets of it, the parts of the pictures of the rainforest, and then I show those. And you can hear the music and all of that. But I really couldn't show that unless I had sent home the permission slip. So just a little something to remember. Don't do it without your principal's permission. You're going to communicate your expectations to your students, but you also need to do that with the parents. What you probably have, you might have at your school, is some voicemail option. And what we would create when I was at Becker is little homework hotlines. And so every Monday, I would get on and I'd say, "Hi, this is Mrs. Gildock." That was my maiden name. "This is Mrs. Gildock, and I'm excited to tell you that this week we are studying, you know, the rainforest. Monday night's homework is to, you know, read these pages of your book and to, you know, find five pictures on the internet that describe burial, you know, the different layers of the rainforest," or whatever. So then I would say, and Tuesday's homework is going to be, I would do that one time a week, but then parents could go in anytime and find out, "Oh, Johnny, you were supposed to create that little graphic today or do that diorama. Where is it?" Okay, so making sure that you've got that parent involved. Also, if the kids couldn't remember, they hadn't written it down, they could use it. Next is just having email lists for your spelling words. Parents get your packets, you know, kindergarten, well, first grade, second grade, third grade, you send home your packets at the beginning of the week. You might, along with that packet on Monday, say, "Don't forget, spelling test on Friday, here are the words." And so you're reminding the parent. You might say, "Don't forget, we need to turn in this assignment by Thursday," or, "I need you to return your Scholastic book orders by Tuesday." So that's a neat little thing to send out reminders to parents, because some of us are better about reading our email than we are about reading whatever is at the bottom of our kids' backpacks. Okay, classroom management. We talked about room decoration today. Filing systems, how you organize all of your materials, not only on your computer desktop, but you can create little stickers so that your files look really clear and nice. Taking attendance, we mentioned. Doing course evaluations, which we'll talk about a little bit later. And by the way, I wanted to pass out, these are the results of the evaluation, or the questions that I asked you the other day. So I want you to see those. Also, seating charts. For younger elementary, it's not a big deal. When you get into older elementary, you're going to be moving students around a lot. And so that's a good way to keep track, particularly if there's a sub. Even with younger students, especially actually with younger students, it would not be uncommon if a sub comes into a classroom in kindergarten for that sub to have 25 students in the morning and 25 students in the afternoon. And for that sub to have a problem with the same student all the time who refuses to tell you his or her name. But if he or she looks at the seating chart and sees that kid's sitting there, that can solve the problem. Or if that kid says, I'm Mario, and in fact he's sitting over there, you could say, "Oh, well, I thought Mario was supposed to sit over there." So you can be a lot smarter than the kids as a sub if you have that information in front of you. Okay, behavior management. You're going to probably want to send some type of a behavior chart home, some type of a behavior report. This is one that was created for preschool. I made this for my son's kindergarten teacher. But almost every teacher that my kids have ever had, and when I was a teacher, there was regularly some type of a behavior report. This one I like because it's so quick and easy. Instead of having name and date, I would use a mail merge, and I would make it print out the name and the date every week, so I would have all these already made. I wouldn't have to write anything. You wouldn't need director's signature, just the parent's signature, so that they bring that back on Monday, and I'd give them a little special treat, you know, from the treasure box or an extra Gerheim gold dollar or whatever if they bring it back on Monday. And then if I wanted to add comments, I could. But all you do is for each day, give it a smiley face, a sad face, or a so-so face. Okay, and so every day you've got your 25 kids. You can do that pretty quickly at the end of the day. And the parents want that information. One thing that's really important is that you recognize that if there are changes in behavior, you keep on top of those. And your counselor especially really wants to know that. So make sure that you write those down and you document those. Especially as you get to the older grades, there could be the possibility of drugs. There could be the possibility of issues of being beat up. So there could be a lot of different issues that children are dealing with, and you want to be able to make sure that you can say, you know, it didn't seem like he was having these types of problems before, he is now. And you can say, on this date, I noticed this. Yeah.
On the little chart you just had, are you suggesting, or was that saying that you fill them all in and then they would see it once a week, or do they see this every day?
It would be up to you completely. In this case, I'd probably send it home at the end of the week. I would just do it at the end of the week.
My daughter has one, and this is the first time I've ever seen it, and it comes with her homework chart, and it has each day what the homework is. And so that day, it'll tell me what the homework is for that night, but it also shows me how her day was that day. And the next day, she has just a little note, like, or arrow showing what she wanted her to give it to me, or what she's trying.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
uh-huh. And as a parent, I would definitely prefer that. As a teacher, that's a lot more time for you to do it. So it really is up to you. You know, if you're in first or second grade where you've got class size reduction, you may feel more comfortable doing that. As you get into the higher grades, when you've got 30 students in your class, that becomes more time consuming. But if you can do it, I think parents are going to really appreciate that. Also, what you might do is just do it for some students. I would have in eighth grade geography, or math, I would have some students that would be on weekly behavior reports. And so I would communicate with a parent. But what I did, now remember, I had 150, 180 students on my caseload. I would tell the parent that the child is responsible for that. They would have to bring it to me, ask me to do it, and wait for me to get it taken care of. And they were responsible for it. You can't trust, you know, a kid in K through 5 necessarily. Well, K through 3 to do that. You have to be responsible for that as a teacher. Working with a parent. Next is collegiality, and that means that you communicate with your colleagues to get general information, to find out administrative information, but also just to be friendly. You want to have a positive working environment. There are lots of online communities where you can go to and get support. Sometimes it means just going and saying, I had a really bad day and I don't know what to do about discipline here, and somebody else can say, you know, I understand, I've been there too. Or maybe they'll come in and say, well, here's a suggestion I tried, if you want to give it a try. Blogging, there are lots of teacher blogs out there right now. If you're somebody who just, you process by writing, take advantage of that, but make sure that you respect the student's confidentiality. You should never disclose any information about your students or any identifying information so anybody might find out about them, because it would be terrible if you have a parent or somebody else in the school that says, oh, I can see that you're talking about, you know, Martha in your blog and that you really don't like that kid. Okay, that would be a real issue. And then being involved in email lists, making sure you know when the next meeting of the Computer Using Educators is, or Phi Delta Kappa. And I mentioned before in professional growth, know what is going on. There are so many free trainings available for teachers. For instance, I spent this summer on a 5 to 7 day trip along the Lewis and Clark Trail, and it cost me, I think, $50 to do it, and all my expenses were paid except for my meals. Just an incredible, incredible experience. Those types of things you find out by reading the Hotline, which is the Clark County School District local newsletter. Other things you can do, know what's going on in the national organizations. They're really neat things, like I know the National Council for Social Studies has regular training expeditions they go on. You know, you can go to Costa Rica for 3 weeks. Those usually do cost more through the national organizations, though. Interact is your way of finding out information and emailing within Clark County School District. If you're in another district, you'll probably have something similar. And then also, one thing that I really like is listening to podcasts. How that works is you find out what you're interested in listening to. And so one that I listen to is Speaking of History, which is by an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, Eric Langhorst. And on a weekly or two-weekly basis, whenever he gets around to it, he goes and records an audio, just like I'm recording audio now, of whatever's going on in his classroom, what he's thinking, what he's learning about being a teacher. And there are lots of different podcasts out there like this. You go into iTunes, you can download them, they're free, and then as soon as I sync with my iPod, just like I'm syncing any music that I've uploaded, then it will sync all of my podcasts for me. And then when I'm driving to work, I have a little speakers that I use, so again, I don't have to listen to, you know, I can still hear the emergency vehicles. I don't have two things in my ears. I have little I think $30 speakers that work in my car, and I can listen to podcasts along the way. I also do that a lot with audiobooks. Like I mentioned last week, something from the book Blink by Malcolm Gladwell or by Thomas Friedman, The World is Flat. That's what I do during that 45 minutes to and from work each day. Okay, we're gonna skip these sections. Okay, any questions about that issue? Okay, and I know this is a lot of lecture today, and I apologize for that.